I'm not really one that goes around saying Happy New Year, but I think I will this morning. How old are you? You don't have to answer that, but you can answer it to your mind. Well, that's how many New Years you've seen. I've seen. And both of these songs that were sung here this morning can apply for tomorrow. It's very important that we understand and believe that nothing's too hard for God. But it's also very important that we know who holds tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know God does. And we can rest in the fact that He does know about tomorrow. We can trust and we can believe. So this morning, our little thought is, I think I'm going to write it on the board. I don't normally do this. Thinking about the Guthrie meeting, and I didn't really get to attend a lot of it, but I heard a lot of it. And what I concluded by the different messages was a lot of speaking about the greatness of God. I mean, it was just sort of inserted in nearly every message. And I think that that's important, that we be reminded of the underlying message in all messages is that God is great. And then we need to be reminded that God is good. And that God answers prayer. Because if you have a need today, you have to pray. I have to pray to express what we need. Another thing I took from the meeting was the emphasizing of the power of God. And I do want us to emphasize the power of God this morning. First of all, I want to thank the Lord because I'm standing before you only by the power of God. I have unspoken requests a lot. God knows what those are. And often, He answers those prayers. And I'm standing before you in answer to unspoken requests. I'm reminded of a scripture over in Psalms, the 8th chapter, and verse 4, just a portion of that, and it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" I know we've heard messages on that text. When God created man, He did it with purpose. And He created man in His likeness, and in the process He breathed into his body the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And man is never going to, how shall I say it, we will always be or have a piece of eternal life within us. And we all are fully aware that there's two places to go. And that's why we're here today. Because we know there's a heaven to gain. We know there's a hell to shun. And that's important and that's good that we ever keep those visions. It's part of the scripture that says where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, if we lose vision of eternity, we can perish. So man became a living soul, and I want to focus just a little bit in the beginning of our thought on God's love and concern for his people. God cares. He cares about you. And I want to tell you something. He cares about your need. Or needs. You could make that plural. And when I think of the ages of those of you, we're just a few this morning, that some of you are young. You're in a different stage of life. But remember, I asked you how old you were. And I said, that's how many New Years that you've seen. The years have come and gone. And I think about Robert. He once didn't have any gray hair. He looked younger than what he does right now. And his sons, they have that dark hair right now. But there's coming a day that they will not. They're going to start looking older. They're going to be changing. And with every stage of life, our needs change. We have special needs when we're young. And we think they're just so vital and so important, and nobody understands my need. I'm in this place of life, and then life moves on. And after a while, you start having little children, and your needs change, So for every stage of life, you're going to have a different need. So I'm speaking of a scripture from Jeremiah 32 and verse 38. I'm going to read 40 and 41 portions. And it's speaking of God's people. And it says, they shall be my people. Are you God's chosen? Are you one of his children? Oh, it's special to be a son of God, a child of God. And it says, they shall be my people and I will be their God. And verse 40, a portion of it says, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. Don't you know that God is wanting to do each one of us good today? When we think of how many years have come and gone, and the song that was sung, is anything too hard for God? And then what do you think of? God is the same. Yes. To every generation, to the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the hope that we have for this year, that he will be the same to us this year. Verse 40 says, "And I will make an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from them." Well, we can connect those with other promises that says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And that was one of Cheryl's standby scriptures, had it on her wall. She looked at it every day. It was a promise, and it's still a promise. This covenant that he's made with his people, that I will never turn away from them. I know, and then, and listen, there's many verses that could be given today, but he says to us, "I know my thoughts I have toward you. I have thoughts of peace and not of evil." And I'm going to end with this: to give. We know what the rest of it says. To give what you need.
Yes, thank the Lord.
At every stage of life, he knows what to give. He knows his thoughts that are, he's thinking toward you and me. And then in Philippians 4:19, another promise: "But my God shall supply all of your," and I put needs, plural, "according to his riches and glory." Do you ever think about how rich he is? Our thoughts on the richness of God is probably so limited.
Yeah, that's true.
We might think of him being rich because he's in heaven and the streets are gold and there's mansions and there's no tears and no sorrow and we might think of riches and in all that he can do to help us. And the word "help" is one of our major words when we pray, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What other word do you use in place of help? You begin your prayer, you're addressing God, you acknowledge who he is, and that he's really your only source of help. I want to tell you, he's my only source of help.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And we start out, and the scripture says, "Make your request known unto God." Oh, God, help me. That most likely will be a part of your prayer, my prayer. "Lord, you know where I am." Do you ever say these things to God? Do you ever say, "Lord, you know who I am. You know where I am." Somebody said one time about another person, they said, "Well, you know their address." God knows your address this morning. He knows where we live. There isn't anything about you that God doesn't know. He knows your thoughts. He knows the thoughts from afar. And he's a discerner of our thoughts. He discerns our intentions. So God's very mindful of man, of each one of us today. And so he says, "I'm going to supply all of your needs according to your riches," his riches in glory. And so this verse, we could say, is a promise. I'm going to say it's a pivotal promise. It's a pivotal promise. It pivots on many other verses. And we don't even have the time today, and I've heard that that clock up there isn't right. There's other verses that will connect, and it will say things like, I liked this verse, Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord. And if you look there, the word Lord is all caps. Now, what does that represent? God himself. Our God, eternal God, his eyes are upon the righteous. And his ears are open to their cry. So what are your needs? Have you brought any needs to the Lord? If God can say that he can supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory, what else does that mean? He can do abundantly above all we can ask or think. Is anything too hard for God? You think that some of your needs are just God doesn't understand, he doesn't know how, he can't meet your needs. You think that? And maybe you even say, and I have, well, there's just no one I can go to and talk to them about this. You ever said that? But you can tell Jesus. You can tell our God what you need. He wants you to. He says to make your requests known unto God. If he can do abundantly above all that you can ask or think, where's the limit? Where is he limited? What limits God? What you and I, we limit God. He tells us in his word, he says, have faith in God. And we start out and we're just such, oh, our faith is so weak. And I'm going to say our faith is sometimes feeble. I thought about the song that the children sang, Inch by Inch. This morning, that was a precious song because that's how we grew in faith. That's how God revealed himself of what he could supply for us that no other person, no other human being can come and minister to me except he can. He can come and deal with my needs. And so if he... How do we limit God? Well, the scripture says we do. That we have not because we ask not. And I'm not going to talk about asking amiss this morning. I believe all of us here have it in our hearts and minds what kind of special needs that we have that we can present to God and he will supply. I believe that we can. So I'm going to read a scripture from Luke, the 18th chapter. Starting at 35 and read to 43. So it came to pass that as he came nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way, begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, that he cried so much the more or the louder. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's a need. Do you feel like you need mercy? You have a need of God's mercy? Yes.
Yes, for sure.
Do you ever feel like you have a need of his compassion? When you're calling on God, do you ever include those two words in your prayer because you need it? We need it. So Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? That's our thought today. I believe you can take home that question and think about it. The Lord knows our needs. He wants to supply our needs. He promises to do it and it be even more than what we could ask or think. But he is saying to each one of you today, what do you want me to do for you? What is your need? Do you have a need? I do. I may not be able to tell another human being, but I can tell him.
Yes.
Thank the Lord, he understands. If I need wisdom, what do? I ask. And I cry out to him, Lord, give me wisdom. And he says, I will give it liberally. And I will not even upbraid you for not having the wisdom that you need. Oh, we all have so many needs. Do you feel like sometimes that your faith is low? I do. It's being contested. And Jesus even tried to prepare us for this age. And he said, I wonder, when I come back, will I be able to find faith? And we find that we're sometimes contested in our faith. And we cry out. And we say, Lord, I need the faith of Christ. Do you ever ask for the faith of Christ? I do. Do you ask for the mind of Christ? I do. Do you ask for the mind of the Spirit? You need it. You need the mind of the Spirit. You need the mind of Christ. You need the faith of Christ. Oh, you might say, well, Christ had such perfect faith. It's okay. I've told you how that the Lord gave me that scripture. I'm not even sure I can pull it up now. But he said it was prophecy of Christ. And he said, what is for Christ is for you. Thank you. And I still pray for that. Lord, grant unto me the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. And when the Lord gave that scripture to me, he said, this is for you. But you have to ask for it. You have to seek for it. If you feel a need for it, ask for it. He will give it.
Thank the Lord.
So then it goes on, and after Jesus said this, and he said, Lord, I know what I need. And you can go before the Lord and say, Lord, I know what I need today. This man knew. I want you to heal my eyes. I want to receive my sight. And Jesus said unto them, to him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, and glorifying God and all the people. And when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. We may not be able to convey to one another our deepest needs. I know sometimes when Sarah prays for me, she'll say these words, Lord, you know mother's deepest needs.
Yes.
And he does. He knows the one, he's the one that holds tomorrow, knows about tomorrow, and he knows my needs today. So what do you want him to do for you? He can do it, and he will do it.
Thank the Lord.
He will love doing it for you. He will prove himself to his people over and over.
Thank the Lord.
But we have to ask. There is another scripture. Let me see here. I've lost a page, but I think I can quote some of this. The scripture that says for him to, it's underneath this page right here. Good. He says for us to ask and we shall receive. Don't take that scripture lightly. Practice it. Now, I believe God wants to work with us in the spiritual far more than in the temporal. He wants us to prosper in our health, even as our soul prospers. He's interested in us gaining spiritually, but he wants us to ask. Go before him and ask, and he said, ye shall receive. If you don't understand, he said, knock, and it will be opened, and seek, and ye will find. And all of this is for his people, but here's two scriptures, Hosea 14 and 2, and Isaiah 41 and 21, I'm going to pull them together. Take with you words. You know, sometimes you may feel like that God is silent, but don't you be silent. When you go before the Lord, take with you words. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. What's your reason for your need? Bring forth your strong reasons. You may not be able to tell others your strong reasons and your causes, but you can tell God.
Yes,
and he will understand. He'll know your need. There's another scripture that says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and what will he do? He'll give you the desire of your heart.
Yes.
Now, when he supplies our needs, there's a... let me see. I need a songbook. I think there's one up here. This portion of a song came to me. The song is 312. And you know what the name of it is? Sweet Hour of Prayer. God wants us to come before him in prayer. And the second verse says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear, my need. To him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. But the first verse is what I want to bring to your attention. It says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes. Think God's interested in your wants and your wishes? We sometimes don't think that. But if he wants to give us the desire of our heart, if he's interested in our desires, he's interested in our needs, he's interested in our cares, he's interested in our wants, he's interested in our wishes. You think that? You think he cares? In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Oh, he's calling for us to pray, express our needs. He's saying to each one of us, what wilt thou that I should do for you? When you go home today, I would like for you to take that question with you. He's saying it to all of us. What do you want me to do for you? Do you know what your need is? The blind man knew what he needed. Tell him. There's another song that, tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Something like, he is a friend like no other. I don't know all of the words of that, but it says we can tell it to Jesus alone. So if you need more faith, if you need more wisdom, he understands. What is your need? He'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, and he will do it abundantly above what you can ask or think. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.